If you are astute, you will all have already recognized that I've changed the title of what was in the bulletin to what's in your notes. So let's pray and then I'll explain what's going on here. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us to learn and grow by it. And Lord, that's all this sermon is about today. I pray that you would help us to use your light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was going to cover verses 33 through 36 of Luke chapter 11 because they both talk about light and lamp. It actually talks about the purpose of a lamp and the power of a lamp. But I got into it to the point where it's like there's no way that we're going to finish and cover things that need to be covered. So I just limited it to one verse. Even though I have the context there, it actually, verse 33 says something different than verses 34 through 36, even though they're both talking about lamps and light. And you'll see that as we go. But today we're just going to cover verse 33. But I would like you, if you would, please read those four verses at the top of your notes there. It's Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Let's read those out loud together, please. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. And when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light, I got one word wrong and it changed the whole context there. Anyway, you can see a lot of repeated terms here. It's a rather fascinating passage again. But let's just get started. And again, I'm just covering the purpose of the lamp. When I get back in a couple weeks, we'll cover the power of the lamp, okay? So I guess God's plans ahead better than I do because I have roughly my outline for 3 weeks from today. So that's very good. But Jesus explains the purpose of a lamp. Now, this sounds almost like don't offend me with such simplicity, right? I know what a lamp is for, but he's using it in a very powerful way. So let me give you three statements. When he says, you're no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. And you're like, yeah, okay, I know that. Well, he's pointing out the obvious to illustrate something very spiritual, okay? Number one here, and this is not brilliance, it's just obvious, right? But number one, you don't light a lamp and then hide it. And you're like, yeah? Right? Illustration here, okay, maybe. Let's see if I can get it working. I tell you what, I make my living in the technological world, but I am fast growing to the point where I need someone to help me in little basic things. I have a little light here. Bethany, can you shut the lights off here for a second? It's not going to be really dark. Or Caleb, yes. All the lights. Just flick them all off. There you go. There's one. There you go. One more. Oh, that's all that'll work. Never mind. Okay, the illustration. I used this yesterday. Some Dad Wright and I were working on Steven's truck. Long story, but his car died, and I gave him my old truck. Right? I couldn't see, and we were working on the headlights, and I couldn't see. So I turned this on a little bit so I can see inside. How stupid would it be if I turned it on and then put it in my pocket? Have you ever done that, by the way? That's like, what in the world? You would say, Pastor Kevin, that's utterly ridiculous. It would just be a waste of the flashlight, right? It would be a waste of the flashlight to do that. You can turn whatever lights on you want now, Caleb. I'm not sure which ones we're on, and I'm not smart enough to be in control of that. So, but you don't light a lamp and hide it. Now listen, we don't light too many lamps today. We just turn them on with flashlights, you know, batteries and all that, or even, a lamp like in your room, bedroom or living room or whatever. But you don't turn it on and then hide it. Okay? You don't cover it up. It says here, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place. Now, the word secret place is the Greek word where we get crypt. But it's either a storage facility or whatever. But you don't hide it in the closet. Right? You don't light the lamp, put it someplace, and then close the lid. How ridiculous. And again, Jesus is pointing out the ridiculous. All right? And he says, you don't put it under a basket, a bushel basket or whatever. You don't cover it up or put it someplace and close the door. Number two, another obvious statement, but you light a lamp and then you shine it. Okay, you put it somewhere where it does the most good. In your bulletin, I found a picture of a lamp, and it's hard to see, but it's actually a lamp that's been attached to a post. So it's up above, right? That's what they would do. They would put it on a lamp stand, it says. You don't put it in a crypt or in a cover it with a basket, but you put it on a lamp stand. You put it up high so it lights the room. We have a tent. We haven't camped this year yet, and it's amazing because none of my kids have begged me to camp yet, and I'm thankful because it's been so hot. But in the tent, there's a little loop at the top. What's that for? You hang the light, right? You turn on a battery-powered light or something, you hang it up there so everyone can kind of see what's going on. You don't stuff it in your sleeping bag. You hang it up there. Why? So it sheds its light everywhere. You shine it. Right? You put it on a lampstand. You put it somewhere where it does the most good. And that leads us to the third point. It's more the why, but so the lamp can be useful as designed. That's the purpose of a lamp. That's what Jesus is saying. You need to use the lamp for the reason the lamp exists. Okay? And you're like, yeah, this is amazing. Why did you have to tell me this today? Because I already knew that. Well, let's break it down a little bit because it really makes a difference what Jesus is trying to say here. And he's talking about a physical lamp, but he's using it as an illustration of how we use His light, the light of the Word of God. Okay? Let's break this down. And I call this the responsibilities of light. All right? And there's four main points. The last one has seven sub-points. But I think we'll get to them pretty fast. All of the passages are here to make it easy. But here's four responsibilities with regard to light, and specifically the light of God's Word. Number one, you need to accept the light. Accept the light. Who is the light? Well, Simeon says it this way when he finds out about Jesus, right? In Luke chapter 2, Jesus is going to be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Jesus is the light. He's the one who is the truth and reveals the truth. That's what light does. It reveals what is true. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says this, in him was life, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. He's not a light of men, by the way. Look in the verse there and underline the word the. He is the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. That's the only other thing you have. The opposite of light is darkness. If Jesus is the light, anything without Jesus is what? The darkness. Fair? And the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus was here and people didn't even get it. And then John chapter 12, verse 36, it says, Jesus said this, while you have the light, believe in the light. That's what we're talking about when you need to accept the light. You need to believe in Jesus as the one who has the truth and explains and reveals the truth. And notice what it says here. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become the sons of light. There is nothing more important, and there is no one more worthy of your focus and attention and decision than Jesus Christ. And if you are here today and you are still on the fence about Jesus Christ, you need to believe on Jesus as the Son of God and the one who came to be your substitutionary payment, the one who took your place on the cross to pay for your sins, and the one who rose again. You need to believe in the light. You need to accept the light, the only light there is. That's the first responsibility of light. Number two. Well, that's good. A lot of people leave number one. They just, if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they see that as somehow their ticket. And the rest of life, they ignore the light. But that's not what the Bible commands us to do. Number two is we need to expose yourself to the light in an ongoing way. Look at John chapter 3, and you hear this over and over from me, but it really is part of the basis of my philosophy. Why is the church building, our church building and church buildings all across the country that preach the gospel, not full of supposedly people that proclaimed to and profess to believe in Christ but do not come to church ever? Well, they're either unsaved or they're certainly disobedient if they are. But look at here, John chapter 3. And this is the condemnation that the light has come into the world. That's Jesus. And men, what? The issue is not that they don't have light. The issue is that they don't want the light. They love darkness rather than light. They chose darkness. They choose darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Why do people not read the Word of God on a regular basis? May I suggest to you it's because their deeds are evil? They're not interested in knowing what God wants to say and has said. Verse 20, for everyone practicing evil, what? What do they do to the light? They hate the light. They hate the light. And does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. God wants us as believers to continuously be in the Word of God. Why? In part because it exposes our sin and helps us to depart from sin. It cleanses us from sin. But he who does the truth, what is the person who does the truth? Comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. God wants us to be in the habit of continuously exposing ourselves to the light. Beware if you are not doing that, because it's indicative
of rejection of God's light because you love the darkness. You need to accept the light. You need to expose yourself to the light in an ongoing way. We need the light because our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, right? We talk about this all the time. We need to meditate in the Word of God day and night. It needs to be the lens in which we view everything in life. Responsibilities of light. You need to accept the light. You need to expose yourself to the light. Number three, you need to know that you are a holder of light. I changed the word. I think I used the word possessor, and it's like, well, the younger kids won't know the word, but you know what it means to hold on to the light. You're a holder of the light. You hold on to the light. If you are a believer, you have the light. Let me give you three passages of Scripture that indicate this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, at the bottom of your notes there in the front page, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be what? Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, in the truth, in the revealing of what is true and right and good. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. You are all sons of light. Isn't that what Jesus said? Believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Now, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and says, you are sons of light. Why? Because they believed. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night or of the darkness. It identifies us. When we are believers, we have the truth of God. And we have the truth giver, the Holy Spirit, abiding within us, by the way. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. Peter says something similar. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. If you are a believer today, you are a partaker, a holder, an enjoyer of the light of God. And you need to know that because there's responsibility that goes with that. And that takes us to number four. And I call it this, the responsibility number four. You are to enable the light. And I don't know if enable is the best word, but it's a short word. You need to allow the light to do what the light's supposed to do. Does that ring a bell? Jesus says, you don't take a lamp and light it, and then put it away. Right? Pay attention here now. You don't take a lamp and light it and hide it under something. You use it for what it's intended to do, what it's designed to do, what it's supposed to do. You, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, are a holder of light. What are you doing with the light of God? There's at least seven ways, and this is not exhaustive, but there are at least seven ways that we enable the light of God. If we are not doing these things, we are have the light, but we're putting it in the closet or putting it under a basket or in another passage of Scripture, sticking it under the bed. We're wasting its purpose. We're rejecting its power. And we're rejecting God's design for it. Let's look at these here now. You are to enable the light. Okay, letter A. Through evaluation. These are bigger words. What does it mean to evaluate? Yesterday, I'm kneeling down in front of a Mazda B2300 with a Ford Ranger front end. We call it a FASDA.
right? And I can't really see the screw that supposedly undoes the headlight, the 30-minute job that took Dad 4 hours to do. I can't see it. So I kneel down and I look closely at it. Oh, there's the screw. I don't know how many times we use a flashlight so we could get a better look to evaluate that. Well, God's word is intended to be used to evaluate what's true and what, help me out, is not true, what's good and what's not good. It's information, truthfulness, and morality. Both of those go in with light. Okay, not all truth is moral truth necessarily, but some truth certainly is. This is right, this is wrong, this is true, this is false. Okay? Ephesians 5, and this is a very good verse in all of Scripture, that one of the best ones I've ever found that describes what light is. It says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest or revealed by the light. For whatever, here's the description of light in the Bible. For whatever makes manifest is light. Okay, whatever makes manifest is light. So light reveals. Light shows you what is true and what is false, what is right and what is wrong. Let me say that again, okay? Light shows you what is true and what is false, what is right and what is wrong. Without the light that God has given us, and by the way, did I tell you you're a holder of that light if you're a believer? Without that light, you are not determining what is true and what is false. And you cannot. If you are not in the Word of God, you cannot come to the right conclusions. You've heard me say that over and over in 20 years of ministering here. And if you are not in the Word of God, you cannot come to the right conclusions about what is right and what is wrong. Do you remember the book of Judges? Every person did what was right in his own eyes, but they were very wrong in doing so. How do you enable light? Evaluation. We're supposed to trust in the Lord with all your heart and what? Lean not on what? Your own understanding. That would either be what is right and wrong, what is true and false, right? In all your ways, what are we supposed to do? Come to your own conclusions. That's what the Bible says. No, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. How do you acknowledge Him? It's called the Bible. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will help you evaluate what is right and wrong, what is true and false. And without it, you cannot enable the light. And you are hiding it. You are wasting it. And by the way, this is not a message on reading the Bible. This is a message on using what you read in the Bible. But if you don't know what the Bible says, you can't use it. And if you're like me, it doesn't stay in your head. It keeps dribbling out or pouring out or gushing out of memory. Right? But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. The Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against you. You got to know the Word of God to know what's true and false, what's right and wrong. Not a new lesson, just a review lesson if you've been around here very long. How do you enable the light? Through evaluation, letting the Word of God determine what's true and false, what's right and wrong. And by the way, then doing something about it. Letter B here, through obedience. How do you enable light? By hearing the Word of God and putting it away and not doing anything about it, you're like the person who lights a lamp and puts it in the closet or covers it up. You're missing the very point of the Word of God. Here's several passages here. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am, help me out here, the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Do you understand that following Jesus is not a point in time? It's a process. And you're not walking in darkness. It says you'll have the light of life. You'll have the revelation. You'll have the truth of what's true and false, right and wrong, to be able to live your life the way God intends you to live as you follow Jesus. To avoid the darkness. To avoid what's false and what is wrong. John chapter 12, verse 46. Did you know Jesus didn't come just to save you? Look at verse 46 of John chapter 12. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not what? Not live, remain, abide in darkness. Jesus does not, he came not only to save you from your sins, but to save you from walking in darkness. Listen, he expects you to obey his light. Not just to know his light. Ephesians 5:8. This tells you both positionally what you are in Jesus Christ, but also what God expects because of the position he's placed you in. Ephesians 5:8. For you were, praise the Lord, once darkness. But now, praise the Lord, you are light. That's positional, right? You were darkness, now you're light. What does it say? Be walking. It's a command. Walk as children of light. Walk as those that know the truth. Walk as those that know what's right. Walk as those that know what is false. And walk as those that know what is wrong. You as a believer should have a completely different outlook on life and lifestyle than someone who does not believe in the Word of God. Amen? You were darkness. Now you are light. Therefore, be walking as children of light. Like you know what's going on because you do. You are holders of the light. Therefore, don't take the light and stuff it in your binder. One more passage. It comes from a favorite passage of mine. 1 John 1. This is the message. Verses 5, 6, and 7 of 1 John chapter 1. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Darkness of any kind does not help you walk with God. Who in Him is no darkness at all. The truth and what is morally right is where God is at. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and notice this has to do with your conduct, and walk in darkness, what does that mean? It can mean moral darkness. Or it can mean just informational darkness, right? What is true and false. If you are not aware and you think you're smart, every one of us does. I'm sorry, but we do. That's called pride. It's called that sinful nature. We have that wicked heart that's deceitful, right? We think we're smart and we think that, you know what? The Word of God isn't that big of a deal. I think I know everything that I need to know and I can go off of what I know. And it's like, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, if you will, ignore in an ongoing way the light that God has revealed, both as what is true and false, right and wrong, we are lying. How's that for John beating around the bush? And are not practicing the truth. These are present tense verbs. He's talking to believers here. But if we walk, if we're walking in the light, letting our thoughts, words, and actions be exposed by God. His truth of what's right and wrong, true and faults. If we walk in the light, you know, here's God's lamp and we're walking so we can see what's true and false, right and wrong. As He is in the light, guess what? We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us in an ongoing way from all sin. Why? Because it points out what's true and false, what's right and wrong. In an ongoing way. That's the only way you walk with God. It identifies sin opportunity to avoid, potential to avoid, but also sin that's there that needs purge. And that's how God, that's how we walk with the holy God as people that are not completely holy in a practical sense. We let Him reveal what is true and false, right and wrong. We walk in an ongoing exposure to the truth and response to that truth. We're walking by means of the light. So you're to enable the light through evaluation, through obedience. Again, if you're not obeying, you're like a goofy person, a stupid person, if I can use that word. I don't mean to use words that maybe you're not allowed to use at home. But you're like a person that's not using their head and lighting a flashlight or a lamp or whatever and sticking it in a dark room and closing the door. You're missing the entire point of the lamp. Letter C. You need to enable the light as protection. Now that probably covers that somewhat in 1 John 1, but here it is. Romans 13, 12. Paul says this to the Romans. One of the last books he wrote, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the what of darkness? Works of darkness." We're talking about actions again. "The works of darkness, and let us put on the what of light?" Armor. What is armor? Joseph has masterfully constructed a bodysuit of armor. Now, it's only cardboard, but it looks really cool. He's got a helmet. It's like in the medieval days of like the armor that knights would wear. But he gets the idea. It's what's the armor there for? It's to protect you. The truth protects you. The light of God's Word protects you from what is false and from what is wrong. Right? In addition to the fiery darts of the wicked one in Ephesians 6, right? The attacks. You can see what's coming. You can know what's going on. You can be aware, and it protects you. You enable the light as you use it as protection, as it's designed to. That's what it's for. By the way, a lamp to my feet and a light in my path is to keep you from what? It's to help you to know where to go, but it also to keep you from what? Stumbling, right? You ever walked in a path without a flashlight when you really needed one? Trip, fall, slam, bang, whatever, right? You could even put a spear through your foot. I don't know if that had anything to do with the light or not. But. Letter D. You also enable the light. Now listen here, this is a big one that I think the majority of our church culture of our age has left behind. It was a big word when I was growing up. It is no longer a word you hear almost anywhere in any circle. Through separation. It's God's idea. It's not a Baptist idea. It's not a Bible church idea. It's not a fundamentalist idea. It's a Bible idea. But look at 2 Corinthians 6:14. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." By the way, that's a general statement. A lot of people apply it to marriage, and it applies to marriage. But it's a general statement. In any way, shape, or form, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. "For what fellowship has righteousness..." That would be a believer with lawlessness. That's what an unbeliever is. They live by a principle of lawlessness. "And what communion has light..." That's what a believer has with darkness. That's what an unbeliever has. That's all they have. And by the way, both of those questions are rhetorical questions. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? None. What communion has light with darkness? Can you help me out here? None. You can't take light and dark and marry those together in any way, shape, or form. Match them together. Put them together. Light and dark are like opposite ends of a magnet. They don't go together. They're not supposed to go together. Separation. We are to separate from sinfulness, from unrighteousness, from lawlessness, from darkness. I think our generation has the hardest time of that. Why do I say that? Because darkness, sinfulness, lawlessness is ubiquitous. Do you know what ubiquitous means? It's everywhere. How is it everywhere? In our day, when it wasn't like that before. I'm not saying that there weren't sinful people everywhere ever since Adam and Eve sinned, right? What am I saying, though? We record sin. We video sin. We create movies of sin. We can record and replay godless music. We can print books. Did you realize that print is a relatively new creation in history of mankind as far as a printing press goes? Right? How many own a book? How about more than one book? Do you know how many books I own? If you do, let me know, because I have no idea. I have books in there. I don't know how many I have in my office. I have more books at home in my office at home. I have books on Bible software, literally thousands of books on Bible software. I have thousands of books in Kindle. Right? Never in the history of mankind has that been possible to this point. But listen, with any kind of technological advance, it also advances the capacity and access to darkness. I quit paying attention to statistics, but the greatest business on the internet remains pornography. And it isn't just for joy. It makes people lots and lots and lots and lots of money, too. It's a very lucrative business. But you know what? People don't make money unless people are watching it. Right? And the Bible condemns all such things. Right? To look upon a woman, to lust after her. And by the way, women are into pornography big time too. But the Bible says to look on a woman is committing adultery in your heart. God isn't for adultery. You understand that, right? That's one of the Ten Commandments. Right? Among many different things. But guess what? You know where you used to have to go to commit adultery? It even describes it in the book of Proverbs. You had to go out and about in one of those areas and find one of those women. Now you can pump it into your living room. You can view it on your smartphone. You can read it in a smutty fiction book. Right? It is so pervasive. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. And it makes it, I think, harder. It's certainly harder to parent. Jane and I talk about this some, but you know what? When I used to call her on the phone, everyone knew about it. You know why? Because there's only one phone. It was in the middle of the house.
And at least people knew who you were talking to and got to hear your side of the conversation, right? There was no privacy. Now you can have, and people do, carry on full lewd conversations. They send pictures of each other naked. You could never do that before. We are to be separate, and it is so hard to be separate because we have lost what it means to be separate. And I don't say this in an easy way. It's hard to know what to watch as a movie because there's so much bad in even the PG movies. Years ago, the PG ones would have been R movies. You know what? What the last statistic I saw was R movies are 64% of all movies. R movies are violence, bad talk, and sexuality. 64% of all movies. Right? I think we need to reevaluate darkness and light. We are to walk as children of light. We are to not have anything to do with unbelievers in that regard. And Psalm 1 talks about that too, right? Not standing in the way of sinners nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. I wonder if God meant the idea of like, hey, we're sitting there watching people commit sin. And we call that entertainment. God would call that sin. In fact, Romans 1 talks about that. That not only do they approve of the things that people do at the end of Romans chapter 1. Right? So separation is a huge thing. That's how you enable light. No, we don't do that. There's things that we simply don't do. Why? Because we're believers and we know what's true and false, what's right and wrong. Letter E. How else do we enable light? Through evangelism. This is written, Paul is talking, and it's directed to Paul because he's the one that was assigned to do this. But in general, the church is assigned to do this, right? Acts 26:18, Paul says, I was given this assignment to open, to preach the gospel, to open their eyes, to turn them from what? Darkness to light. That's all. What you know is true and false, right and wrong, but also then how you live based upon that, right? And from the power of Satan to God. It's interesting that that's like your only two choices. Either you're living under the power of Satan or you're living under the power of God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance of those who are sanctified by faith or belief in me. Paul is relaying what Jesus told him. Evangelism. If you look in this passage that we're looking at here, it says here that those who come in may see the light. It's assuming that you have the capacity, because you're a holder of the light, to influence others by that light. And it's not just evangelism, as we'll see. It's believers and unbelievers. Right? So evangelism. Letter F. Almost done here. By exhortation. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as also you are doing. I broke it up into two parts here. 1 Thessalonians 5:11a, therefore comfort. Oftentimes this is translated exhort or encourage. Here it's translated comfort. It really depends on the context of what a person needs. It's helping a person. They might need encouraged. They might need to be pushed. That's exhortation. Comfort might be when they're hurt. All of those are parakaleo. You're called alongside to help a person wherever they're at. That's exhortation. 1 John 2:9-10. Sorry, I skipped one. It says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother. By the way, hate has to do with what you do, not how you feel in Scripture. It's an action. He who says he is in the light, and basically hate is inaction, hates his brother, is in darkness until now. Did you know that? You can identify by how you treat or aren't treating
your brother, you can identify whether you're in darkness or not. He who loves his brother, and again, we're talking about action, active, brother, is abiding in the light. See that? You can measure how you're doing. How do I treat other people? How am I interacting with other people? Or do I care? And there is no cause for stumbling in him, not letting other people stumble. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:11 again, therefore comfort, encourage, help others. And then letter G is by edification. You see this word over and over. But edify, build up the house of one another. Build up one another. Just as also you are doing. Edification is helping a person grow in the Lord. It's being actively involved in people's lives. Encourage them. Hebrews 10, you're familiar with that. And let us stir up. Let's consider one another in order to stir up one another to love and good works, right? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but what is the opposite of forsaking the assembling? Exhorting. It's active involvement in one another's life. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Responsibilities of light. You need to accept the light. You need to expose yourself to the light in an ongoing way. You are to know that you are a holder of the light, and you are to enable the light through evaluation of what's right and wrong, true and false, through obedience, knowing and doing, as protection. Put on the armor of light through separation. We don't have fellowship with darkness. There's no, it doesn't mesh. It doesn't match. Through evangelism, sharing the light, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. By exhortation, helping people with the truth. How do you encourage, exhort, or comfort people? With the truth. All right? And ultimately, by edification. How do you build people up? With the truth, once again. Here's one last slide, okay? But I have it broken down in parts. What? This is action. Are present tense. Not your intentions, but what you're actually doing right now. What are you doing? What are you, not somebody else, you doing with the light? It's not how much you hear it, though I think that's, you need to be hearing it. It's not how much you read it. And you know, I believe you need to be reading the Word of God every day. But what are you doing? What are you doing with the light of God's Word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us not to be ridiculous and hold the light and not use it for what you intend. Help us to be actively enabling the light in our lives and the lives of others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.